Hi everyone, welcome to The Corner. My name is Zena Wood. I'm the creative producer at Four Bank Corners. And today I'm in New York City at The Garage here with Steve Giralt.
Hello.
Hey Steve.
What's up?
Thank you for having me back. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome to The Garage. Welcome to Brooklyn and
a beautiful
summer day.
Beautiful day.
To chat. Here we go.
I think I just love everyone to know, like, I mean, they can't see the whole space, but I'm sure they can get like a feeling.
Oh, I'm sure you can search the internet.
Yeah, exactly. That's something that you can do. Tell us a bit about the space where we're sitting right now so that we can just have an overview.
Sure. I'll try to describe it in words for people that aren't watching this or seeing
behind
the scenes.
Let's all close our eyes.
Yes, exactly. Imagine yourself in the epic studio of your dreams. So the garage, we're here in Industry City in Brooklyn. It's a really kind of crazy complex out here where there's a bunch of other production companies and rental companies and artists, and it's a really kind of fun creative hub in Brooklyn. So we moved out here about 2.5 years now. Wow, crazy.
Yeah.
It was during COVID. Yay.
Yay.
Fun. And
I know, when I first met all of you guys, everyone was wearing a mask.
Yes,
and it was that thing of when we stopped wearing masks, everyone's face looks, you've filled in their face.
Yeah.
And then you're like, that's what you look like.
Yeah, you have teeth. All right. when I met you, we had just moved in here. We traditionally do mostly all tabletop, you know, cinematography, TV commercials for, you know, the Burger Kings and the Starbucks and the Tim Hortons and all the beverage and food brands. So we created a space that is designed for that and for specifically also innovation and testing. That's the thing that makes The Garage really unique, is it's not just like a bunch of producers that produce jobs and we go and we're like carnies and we move in, do our shoot and we leave. If we're not shooting an actual job, we're always playing. Whether it's with a robot or an LED wall or whatever it is, we're trying to either play or we're making new stuff. Like, we like to make our own tools and ways to innovate and make the process better, unique, more efficient, whatever you name it. So we have a full machine shop in here with a CNC mill. We have pretty fun.
We were introduced.
We have a full commercial kitchen. We have a post room for editing. We have a prop house. We have offices. We have all sorts of stuff in here, and we own so much gear as well.
Yeah. So everything's on wheels, so you can move.
Yes. It all shuffles around. But on any given day, we're shuffling things around and we're kind of, you know, setting something up small to play with, or we're making, you know, really big mess.
Yeah.
Lots of messes in
this
the garage.
This is what I love about you guys. Like, I remember once we did a shot and you brought out the paddling pool.
Yes.
And I was just like, I'm in heaven.
We
this
have
is
a whole
so
closet
cool.
full of little kiddie pools. Yeah. Yes. For catching the liquid, you know, otherwise it gets on everything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And also I remember, you know, like, you have to cover the camera.
Yes.
And but sometimes I remember you were like, no, I think we're just in range of, we're going to be okay.
We take risks sometimes, yeah.
No, but you guys you're so skilled here, and you've got really such an incredible team of people that I always felt like, you know, when Matt says something about gear or like whatever, then it's going to be that way.
Right.
Or when you say something, it's like, I trust that we're an inch in the safety zone of the liquid spill or whatever.
We've learned some of those lessons the hard way, but generally speaking, we're pretty good now about making sure that we don't destroy a lens or
anything like that.
But we are really a group of specialists that kind of come under this one roof, you know, between motion control and 3D type stuff from building. But we all, like, none of us are actual engineers. Like, we all went to photography school or other kind of creative. So the creative always kind of comes first for all of us, basically. It's like, we could do this crazy thing and the thing spins at 30 miles per hour and like it explodes and whatever it is, but why?
Right.
You know, that's like the gist of a lot of it, is just like, we could do crazy things, but if there's not a real purpose to it, what are we doing?
So,
you know,
true.
Why would a client hire us for us just to have fun? Like, it has to be fun in a way that makes them sell their thing, you know?
Yeah. 100%. And I mean, that's amazing though, like coming at it from always putting the creative first and then innovating around that, instead of, and I think a viewer would be able to see the difference.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be able to see if, you just wanted to go for this cool effect, but there's no purpose to it, right?
Right.
I feel like VFX sometimes goes into that realm.
Yes, yes. Well, also, it doesn't necessarily make sense with physics because they could do whatever they want in VFX and, like, yeah. imaginary world. So it's just like, oh, this looks really cool, but then, you know, it's not really grounded in reality. So therefore, the viewer sometimes loses, you know, interest in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I think we're really lucky that we do a lot of practical image making still in the world of CGI and now AI and, you know, you name it. And people are yeah. like, you know, is AI going to replace? I mean, like, CGI didn't replace what I did. Why
yes.
would AI be any different? It's just a tool to do CGI cheaper, easier, better. I don't know, whatever you name it. Right now, who knows what it is, but it's definitely a tool. I mean, we play with it with, you know, ChatGPT and whatever. You know, I say for it lets you find out that you have bad ideas quicker, you know,
I
so
love
you could
that.
You could bounce the bad ideas off of it or kind of, you know, kind of just jar your mind a little bit.
Yes.
So I think it's a tool that way. But I think, you know, clients, it's going to be. Yeah. I mean, it'll replace some things, I'm sure. But like at the end of the day, clients are so crazy. Like they're so particular about how every little thing that is done is done.
Yeah.
And they want creatives and artists such as myself and our team to execute for them because we you know, we have years of experience doing what they hire us to do. And I think there's just something to be said about that. That's why films are still made the way they are, you know.
Yeah.
You still have people shooting film. You know, like, that's the thing. It's just like, if all those things had gone away when new technologies came, I would say, you know, run for the hills. But at the end of the day, there's always a range of, you know, skills and things needed. And, you know, art is always art and craft is craft, you know.
So, so true. So I love that take on it as well. I feel the same. I mean, I'm a big AI interest freak. Like, I love writing about it. I love incorporating it into my original work. And I always think that, if anything, look, there are going to be some challenges possibly with, like, the AI-human interaction.
Sure.
But if anything, I think it's just going to show us what it means to be human and
right.
what it means to be an artist. And,
right.
I mean, like you mentioned earlier, there was a lot of trial and error that went
yes.
into
yes.
the kind of, you know, level that you can operate on now.
Right.
And, yeah, I just do think there's always going to be a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for us, you know, what we do is really hard. You know, it's like, it's probably
yeah.
like, we pretty much choose like the hardest thing to try to do. Cause you know, for those viewers that might not know about slow motion and, you know, visual engineering, whatever you want to call what we're doing a lot of the time, you know, we're working, you know, at 1,000 frames a second. So it's like your precision of timing is like, has to be super exact. That's why we use robotics and other stuff like that, because
mm-hmm.
a human would mess it up every time. And then you're focused so close on things, so there's not a lot of room to be off of focus. You're moving the camera super fast. Like, you know, you need this insane amount of light because the fact that you're shooting 1,000 frames needs way more light than if you're just shooting at normal speed.
Mm-hmm.
So we were always like saying like we're like masochists, like we just torture ourselves to make great work. And it's like, oh, shooting real normal speed stuff, podcasts, oh, that's easy, you know. But like what we do is like just so complicated and we also make it more complicated for ourselves too. We're like, oh, that we did that was hard. Now how do we make it harder next time?
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of like our MO here. It's just like, all right, we made that thing, that was cool. We made that thing, that was cool. Like, can we bring them together and like do this like super shot, you know? And
and
you know, sometimes we get a little lost in the process, I gotta say, but then, you know, I'm pretty good about bringing us back to like the creative storytelling and what are we
exactly.
doing again? Because it is easy sometimes, I think, for a lot of people out there, especially cinematographers that are trying to do the type of work that we do, just to get lost in the process.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important sometimes, like that is also important. You know,
yeah.
the process is very important and your craft and having that practice. But I think also, you know, the story is also important,
yeah.
you know, even if it's about a can of cola, you know, or whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, you guys have the tools here in the studio to be able to trial and error and like make things. And you mentioned the CNC machine
yeah.
and you have the workshop and you've got like a 3D printer, I know.
Yeah.
So yeah, could you tell me a little bit more about that journey and like what it has added to be able to make your own stuff?
Yeah. And it was never on purpose, you know, it's like, it's always been a means to an end, you know, like,
right.
like same thing. People are like, oh, robots, you must be really passionate about. I'm like, I had no intention of owning a robot. Never mind.
Really?
Seven robots. Yeah. No,
oh,
no idea.
I had images of you as a kid, like playing with robots and being one day.
I was a still photographer. I was like, you know, shooting film, you know, that's where I started, you know, like robots are very complicated and
yeah.
it's like not something that I'm like, yeah, sign me up for that. I mean, maybe, but at the end of the day, basically, it's always been like, you know, A, I'm also just a curious person, right? I'm always like learning new things, and how I got into like kind of where we are today is I started actually taking classes in, you know, metalworking and woodworking and like all this kind of stuff just as a hobby. Because like my hobby, which was photography, became my career. So I always say like when you get a new, when your hobby becomes your career, you need a new hobby.
So true.
Which is, yeah, especially for somebody like me that's always got to be like touching things with my hands and making stuff. So I like made furniture and I did all sorts of like fun things just for fun. And then I was like, wait, how do I bring this side of me that loves to like build and create and play with all this other stuff like welding and electronic circuits and blah 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 into the image making that I make? And that's kind of where this, we ended up here, where it's like, oh, I want to do a shot like this. Oh wait, but how do I move the camera that fast? Oh, a camera robot's the only thing that could do that. Okay, let me get a camera robot. And then let me find somebody that knows how to run it. And then like, oh wait, now we gotta mount something else in front of the camera, whatever. So, oh wait, let me get a chop saw and a drill. And like, that's how it all started. And eventually we have a full-time person doing effects and a CNC milling machine and you name it, a lathe. And I don't even know, like, we're at the point now where I'm like, I don't even know all the tools in the workshop anymore. Cause like, that's not really what I'm doing day-to-day basis anymore. Yeah. But with me and Matt, our effects rigger, like we speak the same language cause he also was a still photographer first, and he understands what I'm trying to accomplish, and he has his own experiences that he brings into the mix too, which is also amazing. Because like I say like I'd rather have a whole room full of like different creative minds than a bunch of just really smart people, you know, like like diversity in thoughts and ideas and history. Like, you know, I was always like, oh, let me weld the thing together because that's what I knew. And he's like, no, there's these other things that are like Legos for like out of aluminum that he uses. And he's like, we could reuse it every job and change it and, you know, modify it. So like, it's like, oh, yeah. Well, it just makes more sense in long term, you know. Yeah. I'm definitely the kind of more scatterbrained artist where just like I'm like working on something and I'm just like, I drop it and it's like, go do something else. like if this place was my actual, just only me in this room, it would be a disaster. There'd be like nothing organized. Things would be everywhere, you know, because I'm very much just like driven of like the thing I want to do right now, and like I'm not very patient sometimes with like, oh, let me put everything away. And then like it's like my wife, when she cooks, she's just like washing everything as she go. I'm like
following it.
Yeah, it exploded. But I think there's different types of creatives, and
100%.
They need different types of people around them as well.
And totally, that's why collaboration is honestly so so big, so important.
You know, and I think it's also realizing what your strengths and weaknesses are. I think a lot of times people are too quick to either be like, I know nothing, or I know everything. And it's just like, no, you know something, but realize what you know and what you don't know. And, you know, when also it shouldn't be a hindrance either. It's just like, oh, just because I don't know this thing doesn't mean don't do it.
Yeah.
It just means like you're going to learn, and it might be hard, like how I learned about robots. And, you know, I was actually, my degree is in photography. I didn't even know filmmaking. I didn't know sound. I didn't know editing. I didn't know any of that stuff. I basically, it was all self-taught after the fact, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Which, you know, I still have a little like, sometimes I'm just like, wait, I don't, you know, do I know what I'm really doing? You know,
right.
Like,
I mean,
at this point,
like
I feel pretty good.
Yeah. But it's nice to know as well where your happy place is. I know where your comfy place is. And sometimes I think when you're learning so much, which you must have been like you said, like all these new things, then I'm sure sometimes maybe still photography in your case felt like a bit of an oasis, like a bit of a...
It was almost too easy though, you know, eventually. Yeah. At first it was really fun, right? Like, I mean, I think that everyone starts in a similar way where you're just like, either with it's a film camera, a video camera, whatever, your iPhone, whatever it is, you start exploring the real world around you, you know, to just to kind of understand it visually and how you tell the story through the camera that way. And I think that's a necessary first step for most people before you could then create the world entirely that you're documenting, which is basically what we do now, where like nothing is just like, oh, we'll show up and see if we get the shot we are looking for somehow, you know. It's like, no, everything is like planned. We build the whole thing. It's all, and now getting into virtual production, which is the whole new hot thing, which is the LED wall.
Yeah,
basically.
I definitely want to speak about that.
Yeah, Unreal Engine stuff. Like basically now you are designing the 3D world in 3D, you know, and but you still have to tie in the foreground in real life too to it. So it's like a nice mix of like CG meets practical image making kind of together, which I'm really excited to start digging into. We got a little LED wall we've been playing with. Yeah,
so I think you can see a part of it in the frame, but when I was here with you, you didn't have this yet.
And
so this concept of the addition to it, could you tell me a little bit how it's changed your process and like what exactly it's adding?
I mean, it's still early stages. It's still in the painful moment right now where basically somebody's like, oh, we make these LED panels, oh, we make cameras, oh, whatever, let's aim it at each other and see what happens is kind of where we are a little bit. But like The Mandalorian was the big thing that kind of sparked this whole thing.
Right, okay.
And now they're like popping up all over the country, and it's like, oh, it's a way things are being done where instead of going to, you know, five different locations, you do be in the studio and you can shoot the five different locations in a single day because you pull up the desert, you pull up the ocean, you pull up whatever you want. And the really cool part about it is by using the game engine, the Unreal Engine.
Oh, you're using Unreal?
Yeah. So basically, as you move the camera, it's live rendering the background with the proper parallax and the proper background and everything. So that's the big thing that's different.
Great.
So it's like now you have game engine people with filmmakers with like,
oh, I love that.
It's such a crazy collection of experts you need to make it work though. Especially, but that's all going to get easier as you know, like Unreal gets better at virtual production specifically, not just making video games. And it's already kind of getting there. But for me, as far as my process, it also, you know, so much of the stuff that we do, we build these huge sets to just shoot the foreground, you know, like, and the rest is out of focus. So like for us, if to be able to actually just build a virtual set or even have a collection of, you know, sets that we've built in the past. And then we can just pull them up and we can relight them depending on what we're shooting. It's just the understanding of VFX, practical image making, lighting, like the knowledge base to do it right is actually in art direction is another huge one. Cause like if your foreground doesn't feel real and you just have like a thing sitting on a table and then just this whole world behind it, like, no, you need parallax, you need layering, you need things that you're moving around and you need all that. And I think a lot of the first virtual production stuff I've seen is just really falls flat because they didn't put the time into the production design and the art direction in the foreground, you know? So we're actually working to build there's so many tools. So the new one is like also getting into 3D scanning and photogrammetry because like, oh, we need to scan objects to put them in the 3D world as well. You could actually scan locations. Like you could go and just like scan a house that's beautiful. And now you just shoot in that house, but in the studio.
Exactly.
So many things.
How do the robots fit into that process? Yeah.
They're very precise. They're industrial robots designed with software to run cameras, basically.
Yes.
But they are calibrated into like XYZ space, kind of like 3D space, what people use in Maya or Unreal or whatever. And because of that, they, you know, the camera could move in a way that then it's sending its XYZ movement data to Unreal and working together in that way. So. But you could also live track the camera using motion capture, which is another system that then you need to understand. You know, that's the thing, like to make it work right now, it's a lot of different systems coming together. But for me specifically, we use the robots a lot because of their accuracy and the repeatability and the speed of stuff, because we're shooting a lot of slow motion, which means that we actually have to move the camera really fast so that when you're playing it back slowly, it feels like you're still moving. So since we're so good at using the robots, using it in the Unreal world is just going to be part of that process. And it'll let us actually kind of change the way that we do the process. A lot of times right now, people are moving the camera by hand, right? But for us, it's like we know what the camera is going to do because we're pre-programming those moves. So we could actually render the background even at a higher resolution and better fidelity and all that stuff. So it'll allow us to basically create virtual production work like a little more polished, a little less dependent on how well you could render Unreal in real time. So we're getting in the weeds there a little bit, it's fun and it opens up new adventures. I have to now kind of direct the building of 3D worlds a little bit for the background, which is new.
That's cool. And do you have people coming from the gaming world like working with you? Like, are they actually like,
You need Unreal people, and then you also need somebody to build the world too. So they might not be necessarily from gaming, but from Maya world, you know, 3D animation type of world.
Yes, exactly.
So because we already do a lot of work where we integrate practical shooting with, you know, CGI anyway. Mm-hmm. So we already speak that language, you know, and and Dan made a loud noise.
Let's go back to robots. Let's go back to the OG robots.
Yes.
So, you know, here we have the Bolt Jr., right?
Yep.
And it's a whole series of robots.
We do have all the full collection, a big family. Yes. From the little junior robot to Mr. Big Bolt X robot.
Yeah. Amazing. And you rent them out as well.
Yeah, so we have a whole separate company that's based around the motion control services for other productions. We've been on you know, Apple TV shows, you know, commercials like galore. They go outside, they go inside. Like, we've done, you know, two company moves a day with robots shooting all around the city.
Yeah.
So no, they're fun, you know, and, yeah. And they allow, I mean, there's kind of probably three main reasons for people to use them.
Mm-hmm.
One is multi-pass. So if you're trying to, you know, twin a person or something like that, where you're going to do the same camera movement and the same person shows up multiple times, or you want to actually change time or something, you know, basically just the ability to do multiple pass. And sometimes they do that with, like, we did this AJR music video where, like, they did all this, like, he changed outfits and we match cut him kind of jumping around and, you know, it feels like the camera is continuous, but then magically he's changing outfits and stuff. So it's cool.
Right.
So multi-pass, high speed, obviously, is what we use it for a lot. So it's basically you need to move the camera, like, at, you know, 20 miles per hour or something crazy for a shot. And the robots are really good at doing that, very scary at doing that, but they're really good at that. And then the last one is kind of just like compositing in general, where basically, you know, you might want to shoot the background, you know, some in one place and then shoot the people on green screen together and put them together, or even use scaling like they've done in like Harry Potter and stuff, where they'll make a whole set of Hogwarts, you know, that's at small scale size and shoot all the background plates and then scale it up and shoot the talent on the blue screen or whatever it is.
Exactly. So,
which is where, you know, the Unreal thing is actually becoming a kind of intermediary for that, where they might shoot less practical model stuff and just do the 3D stuff, but actually bake it in with the talent right in front of it.
Yes.
Right away. So it's
cool. It's almost like skipping a step or changing the step or something.
Yeah, well, you're kind of rearranging from like, oh, we'll fix that in post and we'll fill in the blue screen at the end of the day, where actually you have to build those worlds first. And then you're shooting, the talent actually is surrounded by it, which is kind of interesting, new way of doing it.
That
like,
is cool.
So they actually feel like they're in outer space or they're at Hogwarts or whatever it is. So, but the only challenge to that is like now you're baking it in. So it's basically right on the film now. So you got to, you know, you can't fix it in post unless you're going to fix it again in a way. I don't know, but it'll be a whole new thing.
Right.
But it's interesting because like, as you know, so many times like VFX kind of gets dumped with fixing problems.
Well, now that's the whole fix it in post joke, right?
Well, now it's like fix it in pre. It's got to be.
Fix it in pre. Yeah. Oh my God.
I've seen t-shirts. Yeah.
You've seen them? They exist already.
Yes,
okay.
That's it. You'll probably look on Etsy. I'm sure you'll find it.
That's amazing. Okay. Like, that is so funny because the whole fix it in post thing's been like forever and now we're just changing it to pre. But it's so cool though.
Fun. You know, it's like all, and that's the thing that just, reiterates the fact that all the genres are just colliding now between game design, photography, cinematography, like all of it has to, like, we also have to all learn how to speak the same language in this new world too, which is, I think, going to be interesting as, you know, you have some people that don't like change as much as others. Mm. You know, I love change. Sign me up. Adapted the fact that I'm going to change what I do every couple of years. It's just part of what the world does nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so watch out. I'm going to be directing, you know, Fast and the Furious 25 in 5 years or something. You
there
know,
it
we'll
is.
See.
It's happening.
Car is going to be flying everywhere, you know.
Exactly.
It'll be great. Yeah.
Robots holding them.
Yeah, exactly. Monster robots. You know.
Love it. Yeah. I love the vision.
Yeah.
So speaking of change, the robots, I mean, because I, you know, I got to know the Bolt series and like they seem, I don't know how much they're changing. I know the software was changing
a lot.
Yeah, so there's the software changes, but then there's the also like, you know, when you watch like Boston Dynamics videos or whatever, obviously a completely different application of
robotics, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I watched Roland Garros, the Boston spot.
Uh-huh.
He delivered the balls to the players, and I was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's too much.
You know, as long as we don't put guns on them and let AI control them, I think we're going to be okay for a moment.
Tennis balls are fine.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let them run the factories that make the robots, because then robots can make their own robots, and like that might get a little dangerous. But no, they are really interesting. And the biggest change is, as you said, software. You know, like now there's like an app for the phone where I could actually literally either move the robot live from my phone, you know, or I could even like just set keyframes to say, oh, keyframe one looking here, keyframe two there, keyframe three. And then the robot comes in and goes boop, 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 and connects the dots, which is really cool.
That's epic.
So I think the software and AI and all that stuff will make them faster to use and also probably safer as well too, because I think with machine learning and vision and all that stuff, we could actually eventually have a system where if it sees a robot coming too close to a person, the robot will stop, you know.
Yeah.
Right now they're really dumb. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like robot smash. Yeah, like if you tell it to go through this table.
Yeah.
It doesn't know there's a table there. It will try to go through that table.
Although I want to say to them, you're really smart, because they're going to watch this later.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
We need to be on the good side.
Robots are
especially
your friends.
Especially you need to be a good side. Yeah. You're surrounded by them.
Well, you know, they're really big and heavy, and they can only go so far, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think for us, being specialists in the robots too is a very unique thing, because a lot of times productions will rent them for the day or a week or whatever their production is, and there's just like a learning curve that like they finally get good at it by the end of their shoot, you know, like
so
you know, for us knowing them so well is just like we are so efficient with how we use them, and our operators, which is the most important thing, also know how to, you know, flex those muscles, you know, better than other people that don't use them as often, right?
So true. So, I can imagine. That makes complete sense.
Yeah. So we get smarter on every job, which is great, you know, usually on somebody else's dime, you know.
But like you said, you're starting from the point where you've already, it's your strength, right?
Right.
So,
exactly.
Great. Yeah.
But they're definitely part of the future. You know, you'll see them replacing dollies more and more, you know.
Yeah.
And especially if, you know, right now the thing is like they have to always be pre-programmed. And like at the end of the day, like with this new changes in software and AI, whatever, like maybe a DP could just have goggles on and just be looking at what he wants the camera to do, and it'll just do what you want. You know, I don't know, you know, but I think that's definitely, I mean, if the if history is of any indicator, software is what changes the world, you know, like Airbnb's software. It's not they didn't build any hotels. They didn't build, you know, like it's literally, you know, Uber, same thing. They don't own any cars. Like they literally are just this thing that connects things together in a whole new way. And I think, you know, there's some tons of industrial robots out there, and I'm sure Boston Dynamics robots will get cameras on them at some point too. You know, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, I'm excited for what the software will do for us, and just a new creative possibilities that weren't possible before, because it's the same thing, like before the Phantom camera, as an example, which we use for slow motion, like you couldn't move the camera around that fast, you know, like the film rules, like reels like, would just like blow off of it. So, you know, just one innovation leads to future innovations. And I think that's the really fun thing about it, is it's like as new things come out, you know, you can kind of create new things that you weren't able to create before. Although they might still just be iteration, right? Like as we've talked about so many times, like everything we're doing today is an iteration of what was done before, a little bit, like in still photography or in painting or in sketching on the side of the cave, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. Okay, so are there any, like, moments that you would love to, like, highlight? I don't know, like...
Sure.
I mean, good crazy
or,
moments.
Good or bad ones, good, yeah.
This is the thing. It can go both ways.
I mean, I think... no, I mean, once again, I'm... Just to start off, just feeling how lucky I am to do what I do, too, you know, and I think... it's important to remember that, like, no matter how far you get into the director world or whatever you're doing creatively, is just like to be able to do a job that you enjoy and flexes your creative muscles is really awesome, you know, as it is. Not to say there weren't some good and bad moments along the way and learning moments along that path. But no, I think for me, the big, you know, as far as the exciting turning points was like, A, deciding I was going to leave still photography, go into visual engineering, you know, which is basically bringing this love for engineering and together with storytelling and kind of, you know, make that the epic burger drop video that went viral. Like that was a huge turning point. And that was just a test shoot. Like
Tell me a bit about burger drop shoot.
So basically I had originally done a campaign for Budweiser stills wise. That was like, you know, these burgers, and it was next to it was just like a beer, and there was like, they're on billboards all over the place. It was a great campaign. It was awesome. But then I was just like, but you don't really see the layers that well, like, cause it's like far away on the billboard. Like, is there a way to tell the story differently, you know? That's kind of what just sparked the idea of like, it'd be cool if all the layers were just kind of flying next to each other and the camera could kind of zoom by them all. But at the end of the day, it's still like, boom, bounced and landed beautifully. And then you threw a beer down next to it, you know? So that's kind of exactly where the idea came from. It was just like, how do I make this still photo shot I've done before better and cooler? And that set me down like probably a 6-month path to like figure out how to actually execute that. So I had, you know, cause once again, I didn't know much about robotics, any of this stuff yet. So I took a class in Arduino programming. It's just like a little $30 microcomputer that you could like hobbyists use to do like little tinker projects and stuff like that. Maker geeks and, you know, whatever. I love those people, but they're my people. But there's better ways of doing things, as I learned eventually. But so it was like C++ code and all this stuff that I learned just to be able to program this thing to like cut the little strings that the different ingredients were on at exactly the right moment.
Right, because they're like resting on the strings.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. They're like little elastic strings so that when you cut them, the strings just go whoosh, and like whip out of frame.
Exactly.
Like almost like instantly so you don't see them, and then everything just naturally falls with gravity and lands, and you have to get a lucky landing because every time it bounces slightly differently.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about food is it's an organic thing. No two tomato slices are going to be exactly the same. No pieces of lettuce are going to be the same. So there's an inherent accidental luck part of our process, you know, that is part of it, which I definitely pushed the limits on that shot. So that was the first time I had used a camera robot. It was the first time I ever used even a Phantom camera. Like, it was a first for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I already was doing food photography, so I knew how to make a burger look good. I knew what made it appetizing. I knew food stylists. I knew that side of it.
Yeah.
I just had never done it this way. And I mean, and the funny thing about that is like nobody would care about the finished footage. It's like, hey, another burger droppy video, whatever. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I shared the whole behind the scenes on how I made everything.
Yes, and that just blew up.
That blew up. And, you know, I got lucky with Instagram being an emerging-ish still platform at the time where, you know, image makers could, like, share things with other image makers around the world. And that was, like, really lucky that I put that out there. You know, it blew up on YouTube and Vimeo and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But, and then that just kind of, like, was like, okay, this is a good idea. You know, like, I thought it was a good idea, but the world kind of nodded back and it's just like, this was a good idea. So then that kind of propelled us to like, okay, can we do something like this for a client that's paying us to do it, not just out of my pocket, you know? And the next big one was Hershey's, where we did this Hershey's s'mores, you know, you know, is a s'mores a universal world thing or is that just an American thing?
We know s'mores. I mean, from South Africa, we know s'mores.
Okay.
I learned s'mores here too.
Amsterdam,
I mean,
do they in Amsterdam?
I'm not sure.
There? Okay.
I haven't checked that yet.
There's a few things where I'm like, is that just an American thing? I don't know.
No,
either
I know
way.
What you mean.
But they wanted the same thing. They saw the burger drop. They're like, hey, how can we kind of bring that awesome energy of what you did there to a Hershey's s'mores specifically for the Times Square billboard store here, which is like, oh my God, it's amazing canvas to fill with like a s'more, right?
Yes.
So I thought about it, and that's funny enough, that's the first job where I also met Matt. He was a freelancer. He had just moved back to New York City from LA. And we're like, hey, do you want to help me do this thing? I already had an idea. I had kind of sketched it up of like how to do the s'more thing, the smushy, you know, thing. But he did all the robotics and all the mechanical stuff for that for me. And I could just concentrate on like the story for the first time in a while. That was great. Hershey's loved it. It just like changed so much at Hershey's as far as how they looked at their food and their chocolate, because it was like, it was so organic.
Yeah.
It was messy,
but
it was like so delicious.
Yeah,
because
you
know?
You can see.
Just oozing.
You can see it. You can taste how it looks.
Yeah. and they had been doing tons of CGI on their chocolate and it just looked so fake. And I think they had realized that like they had lost that connection with the actual appetite that you're supposed to get from looking at this stuff.
Yeah.
So it was great. I mean, it was an amazing thing turned where it's just like, oh, okay. Check, next box was checked. Like we did it something cool and a client paid us money to do it.
Yeah.
And then I'd say the next big turning point was then probably the first Pepsi job we did was a Pepsi Black, which it was like our first dream job, where it was just literally like Pepsi, you and Matt, like just play around with it, like fill balloons with it, throw it in the air, like stream it out of a pipe of, you know, whatever, like just whatever you could think that is interesting, try to freeze it, thaw it, boil it, whatever, you know, like, is it appetizing? Is it, you know, is it making you feel thirsty? Do you feel like that taste? And that was an awesome, you know, once again, campaign where they let us like go to town, and that was a global Pepsi campaign in stills and motion in every country but the U.S. It was, you know, Pepsi's broke up in two halves, so global, and then the U.S., you know, we're very unique here in the U.S.
Totally.
Very specific needs in our marketing and advertising, but no, and then that was it. Then we were off to the races after those. I'd say that was kind of like the, from still photography into kind of proof of concept into the first couple jobs, and then that, you know, and I found through that I really love this, and this is like kind of like my superpower of being able to use like right and left brain to kind of do
the
technical stuff and the creative stuff. And then, well, I guess there's I don't know, what part is the business side on? A little bit of both, I guess.
It's there.
You know, but it's important too, because or else you can't turn the lights on.
Of course, yeah.
And find the team, and that's the thing, like having people like Matt and Haley, our producer, and now John, and, you know, all our people.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this, you know, well, I guess technically I could, but I don't want to do this by
myself.
And
it would be a different situation.
In COVID, I had to. I did one Budweiser shoot that was literally me. That was it. Like,
yeah, switching the lights on, doing the shoot.
Yeah, yeah, like fire effects on a barbecue and burgers flipping and like.
Oh my god!
It was like not fun. I had a stylist. That's it. I lie. So it was me and a stylist. That was it.
Yeah.
Running the Phantom and lighting everything. No, it was just like no fun. But once again, I am unique in that I know pretty much all the roles on set enough that I could speak to them and to know which one what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, you know?
Yeah, it's like, so important. I mean, as a producer as well, I feel like that's one of the things I'm always putting at the forefront is learning how to speak to all the roles. And as the roles are changing, things like this, relearning those, you know, because I want to connect on that level, you know, on the technical level, so as to make the decisions that need to be made.
Yeah.
And it's more fun for me as well. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
What I found so interesting about the Hershey's job was how, like, the relationship between creatives and the client, and like how the visual language and visual storytelling of the product can also influence the way the brand is working,
completely.
Right? It's
almost
like a symbiosis. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that relationship between client and creative is even more so becoming much more important.
100% agree.
Yeah.
I think the first thing we do on any new brand, client, whoever it is just like, tell me about your brand. Like, who are you? I need to understand that before I shoot your storyboards, you know, like, cause there's so many ways that I can make it better or question what they're doing or possibly end up with a better end result if I question who they are, and they need to also voice it. Like anybody knows, right? If you ever want to know that you're really good at something, try to explain it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And like by voicing it yourself, like you learn a little bit about yourself,
elevator
right?
So, pitch vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and I think that more and more is like the clients that we have today are a lot of like repeat clients that we understand their brand, they understand how we work. Like those longer term relationships really are a better way of working, you know, not to say that some jobs aren't just like a one-off or whatever it is, but we also are working more direct to brand too. So without an ad agency in the middle of it all, which is, you know, kind of really fun. Sometimes we have to hold the client's hand a little bit more because they don't necessarily understand like all the stuff the agency would normally bring to the table, you know, both in production and account executives and, you know, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's super fun just to like work one-on-one with a brand and just say like, hey, what are you trying to get out of this?
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe, oh, okay, we could do it this way as an organic Instagram thing, and we could do this for YouTube paid, and we could do that, you know, like, because that's the other thing too, is like the media,
the
landscape has changed too, where it's just like one thing that works on TV doesn't work on TikTok, you know, like, and, you know, brands are now, the big brands very, very much know this now, but sometimes they're so set in the ways of like thinking about just TV first. You know, like, and nowadays it's like, no, you got to think about everything first.
Yeah,
like
at the same time,
it's not just broadcast and you trickle down that to everything else. It's like, you got to think about like what your message is overall you're trying to send. And then how do you do it in the different aspects of ways that you want to reach people, whether it be TikTok or Facebook or whatever it is, you know, which has made our life kind of a nightmare with the whole 16:9, 9:16.
Of course,
vertical,
so
horizontal,
many people,
everything.
Speak about that. Like,
oh my God, it's our nightmare. But it's okay. Luckily, at the same time they asked for that, we got 6K and 8K cameras that we could then crop and do different things. But you know, and that's where the robots come in handy too. We could actually we have a special mount where we could actually shoot something horizontally, and then it just turns the camera 90 degrees and does the same shot again. You know,
nice.
So we could be efficient that way too.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, that's really helpful.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Like I think on the, you know, garage services side of things, the services company, you know, garage rentals, motion control, we've also done some fun things for people that just like are like, oh, we're trying to just do like a dolly zoom, you know, like, but we wanted to have the key grip still push the dolly, and then the AC is trying to do it, and you know, it's just like how do we make this better? So we actually have, we built this like encoded box thing for them where it just actually has a little wheel on the track, so as the key grip pushes the track, it actually does the zoom calibrated to the track movement.
Oh,
so like
great.
Now we remove the second AC out of the thing, you know, we could do focus too if we wanted to, but they like to still pull that, so but like solutions like that are kind of what we're trying to dive into a little bit more, where we're actually kind of being practical VFX, everything kind of partner for people? Like, same thing, where like, oh, it makes sense to do this motion control, and then this bullet time, and then this photogrammetry, and then this volumetric capture, and like, there's just so many of these new tools that are our fingertips that are like out there that, as a filmmaker, like, yes, I could say I only shoot with a camera, but like, no, like, what tells the best story as a director, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do we use all these tools in the most awesome way to do things that we haven't done before? And I think nowadays, like, that's where we're really kind of concentrating now, like finding these collaborations with these other specialists.
Yes.
That, you know, they know photogrammetry, they know 3D scanning, whatever it is, because it's just like, oh, hey, I could shoot this thing from the outside, but then I want to go in it. And then, like, how do we bridge that gap in between practical and CG,
yeah,
or whatever it is? So that's kind of where we're definitely headed, in this like hybrid world of like, do the things that make sense to do real, do the things that make sense to do CG, photogrammetry, whatever you're going to do, and also have a plan to tie them all together beautifully,
yeah,
on the shoot day, not just like, oh, they'll figure that out later, you know?
Yeah.
So
totally.
And
you know, I loved, like, when I was like observing you and Matt on set, like, it's like you're working with different planes.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, and you've got the pneumatics as well, and you've got the robots, and then you've like, it's like, okay, and then the food's moving in a certain way, and it's like everything's doing its like little choreographed dance.
Yeah. And the food stylist has to be like on board too, because it's like, oh, what,
yes,
side of the donut are you looking at, or
exactly,
whatever, and like, how do the toppings land on it and actually stick, or, you know, like, there's so
it's
much.
It's incredibly,
yeah,
collaborative.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And it's like also very challenging, which I love. Like, for me,
yeah,
the honestly, the problem solving of things is what gets me so excited about all this stuff. Like, once I've solved a problem, I don't want to just like keep shooting that thing that I've solved. Like, no, I want to solve,
right,
the next problem. What's like, how do I make it more complicated?
You're like, oh my gosh.
Someday I'll retire. I don't,
yeah,
know.
No, I don't think,
yeah,
you will.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the next viral video,
yeah,
one day in like 50 years,
yeah,
where you've figured out something.
Become like a plumber or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Constant problem solving there, you know?
Exactly. But speaking of, I mean, food, obviously, like, it's, you know, so you have this, everything's figured out, and then, like you said, the strawberry falls to the,
yeah,
side,
yeah,
or like whatever. And I mean, you have a working kitchen here as well,
yeah,
which is so special to,
yeah,
have in the studio.
Oh man, it's like,
yeah,
you know, we just made some banana bread in there during lunch the other day too. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah. No,
that's
like, it was a huge ordeal to put that in, because,
yes,
it's like basically a commercial kitchen that,
yeah,
we had to build into the studio space. But for us, it allows us to do stuff otherwise be not possible, because like, also different brands have very specific ways their food is made, especially,
yeah,
in the American, you know, world of how we do our food here. And so like, a pizza brand might actually have to bring their huge like 10-foot pizza oven,
yes,
into our space and actually put it into the gas and the hood and the whole thing just for like a week, and then like,
yeah,
we rip it out and we put the other things back in, and like, or like, you,
yeah,
know, some certain fried chicken brands like have a specific fryer that they use to fry their chicken the way it looks. So like,
yeah,
and that's the thing actually we haven't talked about a little bit too, is like, authenticity,
yes,
is a big thing now.
Yeah.
I feel like the new generation doesn't want to be advertised to, like, they want brands that are authentic and,
yeah,
do good things for the world, and, you know,
mm-hmm,
and hence also YouTubers as well, like Mr. Beast and people like that, that like just put all this stuff out there for people.
Yeah.
So in the food that we shoot, we do a lot of, you know, since we're doing it practically, is all very real, you know, so like, there's only, you know, little food styling tricks that kind of go into that, but most of the brands that we work for are very, like, they want their food to be shot as accurately as possible within reason,
yeah,
you know, like, you know, if the burger is a quarter pound, it's got to be a quarter pound,
yeah,
if it, you know, if the lettuce comes chopped up, it's got to be chopped up lettuce, you know, like stuff like that. But there's a little room for us to kind of make it hyper real, which is why people love it to see it in advertising, because it's just like, oh my god, that looks larger than life.
Yes.
But if it feels like so fake that you're not hungry anymore, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Same thing with CGI. If like, you do it badly in CG, then like, it's not going to have the effect that you want, you know? And I,
yeah,
think that's where food is such a unique thing, or any practical, you know, powders or fluids or things like that. Like, it's really hard to do them well in CG. And I think that is awesome, because it's great.
It's more here, yeah.
Well, and it's also like, we could just shoot tomorrow. Like, we have the stuff,
yeah,
here, like, boom, tomorrow, here's the footage, you can put it out, like, done. Like,
yes,
earlier,
exactly,
was it this year, last year? I forgot, we got a call for like a job that was just like, they called us on like Wednesday, can you shoot this on Thursday? They edited it on Friday and it was on TV on Sunday. Like, it's,
yeah,
crazy.
I love it.
But we could do it, right? Like, if you're,
yeah,
trying to do that any other way, unless you're buying stock or something, but not with a product,
exactly.
Right? It just wouldn't work,
yeah.
You know? So I think that's also a very unique thing. Plus we could do like 5 takes, they're all gonna be slightly different and you might get a happy accident in there. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm definitely a big fan of the happy accidents, you know, like you're like, oh wait, somebody walked in front of the fill light and that looks so much cooler. And you know, like, oh my God, kill the fill lights. Here we go. We're gonna shoot it like that. No, and like,
yeah.
And that's the thing I missed about COVID was like, we weren't necessarily always all in the room together. You know, so like sometimes some of those things happened when you had the opinions in the room that somebody was just like, hey, you know, maybe that's off or that's wrong or, you know, like, because sometimes you know, we get like really hyper focused on what we're looking at.
For sure.
And we don't think like, oh, what if X, Y, Z, whatever, you change anything, you know? So
yeah.
I think, you know, to me, so much of the fun is that like being in the room together and just doing this thing together and the
exactly.
client's here and everyone's like on board and we're trying to make something awesome. And sometimes you get a happy accident or like, even if it's just like that take that didn't work out right, but then they use it in the edit and it works great. And it's just like, you know, it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
It should be fun.
The whole process. It should be fun for sure.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like one can sense it. Like a viewer, they wouldn't necessarily know, but there might just be that smidgen of not as excited as if it was a good process and they had fun and it was creative and collaborative.
No, and it's a creative art, you know, for better or worse. It's advertising, but it's a creative art, you know, in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's something really awesome about also being able to hire other artists to work for us too, you know, like, because people are like, oh, you're, you know, shooting for these people that make this horrible food. And it's just like, but I'm employing a bunch of creatives and a bunch of amazing people that otherwise would not be employed. So there's, you know, you have to weigh both sides of it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you work for so many different clients and everything, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm sure there's so many restaurants or whatever, things that can come and be like, we have this amazing food and the food is amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, especially it looks amazing when you shoot
it. Yeah, exactly. You know, some are better ideas than others sometimes. I think that's probably one of the hardest things is like when people come to us with something that I'm just not vibing with. And it's just like,
I find that
it's
hard
like,
as well.
Oh, but your budget's what? I guess maybe I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
You know? Cause some, you know, sometimes it's just like the first creative call with the agency or the client or whoever it is. It's just like, oh my God, I want to shoot this job so bad. Like I'm so excited by it. You know, there's a lot of ones that are somewhere in the middle where I'm like, oh, these two shots I feel like super excited about.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones where I'm just like this is just a bad idea. I don't want to tell you this is a bad idea, but this is just a bad idea, you know, like.
But it's funny because one thing I feel like, yes, you have these instances like this, but I think one thing that I like to do is like, how can you up level it, right?
Yes.
Like even if you can just up level a piece of it, it doesn't have to be the whole idea.
Right.
The joke is maybe still not landing. I mean, that's hard for me.
Yeah.
If there's like a comedy feel in the thing, but it's not landing or it's like, and that's so interesting because everyone's sense of humor is different,
right?
But that can really get me down. I can be like, I'm gonna try everything to try and change that joke.
Yeah.
But you know, you can try and up-level certain aspects of something, right?
Yeah.
And like have those maybe sometimes difficult conversations with the client as well.
Yeah, sometimes. And you know, I think I'm more likely to say that up front early on a job where it's like in the treatment even or on the creative call, just like, wait, do you think about this or do you think about that? Or are you sure about this? You know, like I try to be as gentle as I can.
Yeah.
But I always think that, like I am here to help them achieve the best end result, which
this
means
is your expertise.
Questioning them too.
Yeah.
You know, like, have you thought about this?
Right.
Like,
because
we many times have more food expertise than these clients do because they, you know, it's a, you know, 30-year-old, you know, creative director that's never done food before.
Yeah, of course.
But like, he might have done a bunch of other stuff for like Nike or whatever, you know, like lifestyle or comedy or whatever it is. But like, oh, I don't know what makes a mochaccino look good or whatever, you know, like it's like, you know, so that's where, you know, we were in a very special place, at least in the food world, of like being able to bring our expertise to it all as well.
Yeah. Are there any food collaborations like with art directors or food stylists or things that you really like absolutely love that you want to like?
Oh, they're all so different, you know, like that food stylist, that's a whole thing you could do a podcast
on
too.
Yeah, that's a whole
thing. You know, they all come from such different backgrounds and they're like, oh, this person's like a chocolate specialist, this person does burgers and this, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
No, I'm just very thankful for them because, like, they, you know, their job is very hard to get that right, you know, to be able to, you know, under pressure to, I mean, that's the thing. It's like a director, if it's not working right, then you're under a bunch of pressure because you're like, you have to somehow steer the ship and fix it.
Yeah.
But if it's a technical thing, like a burger, like the food isn't cooking right because, like, the food just, they sent us isn't right or whatever it is. Or like for Matt, like a rig that he built suddenly breaks and isn't working right. Like that pressure on set of like, oh, this whole thing of 30 people or 40 people, whatever, are just waiting on your one thing. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure,
of course,
you know, that, you know, people undervalue that their ability to just get it done and, and keep pushing forward, you know, but, you know, sometimes things go as planned. Sometimes they don't. That's okay.
Yeah.
But having, once again, a experienced food stylist, and then once again, they're artists in their own way too, very much so,
yes.
You know, they're sculpting, they're kind of creating, they're, you know, they're also problem solving along with us, like, oh wait, we want this thing to do this and then fly and flip and whatever, like, how do you do that without it falling apart or looking horrible, you know? So
exactly,
you know, we do a lot of cheating as far as like, oh, we'll film this part in reverse and then we'll film this one forward and then we'll put that together and make it look like it ended and began perfectly. And
exactly.
That's where, you know, the motion control and the robots is also a huge part of that,
yes.
Where we could actually cheat. You know, like we've done a bunch of things where like, oh, we're going to shoot this piece and then we're going to shoot this piece and then you overlay them together and magically like the whole group of food is all perfect at the same time but we shot them all individually and it was all composited. So without giving up like the excitement of the camera movement and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. So there are a lot of new developments happening at the garage.
Always.
Yes.
Every day. I don't even know what I'm going to get into when I walk in every day. No, Some are planned, though.
Yes, some are planned. Tell me about the planned ones.
Yeah, so as the garage itself is only a few years old, honestly, which is crazy. Like, we literally launched right before, like a year before COVID. So it's like, to me, I mean, not that, that's when I started what I do. I came from being a still photographer for 15 years before I did that. But basically, the whole idea of the garage was to use our skills and our abilities as a team to empower other artists to do the most amazing work they could do, the most innovative work they could do, you know, just be like, yes, you want to try to do something as a production company, we're going to try to make that happen.
Yeah.
Whether we need to design a crazy thing or do a robot thing or fly in an elephant, whatever it takes. Because like at the end of the day, I don't, you know, value my own ego that highly to make this all about me. It's all about us making great work, whether I'm the director or I'm not even part of the thing or whatever it is. So the name The Garage was all about like a place to come play and be fun and be like, come over to my garage, let's mess around. I got this new tool, let's play with it, see if we could break something and not explode the house, whatever it is. So that's what we're kind of really leaning into going forward. We're expanding past tabletop now. So, you know, we have, you know, four directors on the roster now. That's gonna go up, you know, to probably double that. And it's just other artists that tell stories in different ways that we can empower through our process and through our ability to both, you know, provide the client experience, the production, all the traditional stuff production companies do, but also the playground and the ability to say, hey, do you want to mess around with that shot a little bit? Do you want to set something up? Do you want to, you know, talk to Matt, do you talk to Dan and talk to our different people about like, how do we make that even more seamless? And, you know, as we're expanding the services side of the company too, those are new services that now we could also empower these artists with too and teach them about it. And kind of, you know, that's where my role is, as like, yes, I'm a director on the roster, but I'm also the owner of the company, is also to like, hey, so-and-so new director, how do we make your stuff better? Like,
exactly.
Like whether I'm involved and, you know, whatever it is, like that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
So the garage going forward in the next, you know, year or two is really, I'm really excited to see where this goes and like what kind of crazy new stuff we get into. You know, is it into, you know, features and other stuff too? I don't know. I just, like, as long as we're making amazing work and doing cool shit, like, I am happy. That is the goal.
Yeah. No, that's so exciting. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens next.
I know, me too. Let's see. Yeah.
And if you had, like, any advice or just, like, things that come into your mind about, like, how people can get into what you do or facets of it, like maybe the robotics or maybe the more from the Unreal side or software side or whatever. What would you say?
I would say number one is follow your curiosities. You know, like that's how I got here, right? Like I didn't like plan this whole thing from the beginning. Like I had no idea what actually I was going to be here today at all.
Can you imagine you did that? That
yeah,
would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, it would be kind of crazy if I had that ability. But but no, I think it's just like if you're really into one thing right now, just like go for it, but go all in on it. You know, like really play, explore it. And then when you get bored of it, move on to something else. Like I think, and you know, I think realize, the things that get you excited and how can you bring more of those things to your process, and also collaborators that you have worked with that you really jive with and you're like, oh my God, this, you know, wardrobe stylist, like she really gets like my vision and she really makes my work better, you know, so really gravitate to those people that make your work better, you know. And unfortunately, sometimes I've learned also that sometimes you have to part ways with some collaborators to take yourself up to the next level in some cases, because not everybody's always growing. At the same time, you kind of weave in and out of people's lives. You know, there are people I worked in still photography for years, which don't apply to what I do today, you know, and so, and the other way around, that people I would never work with in stills that I do now in motion. So yeah, more than anything I say is just, and start doing something today. Like, don't be like, oh, once I'm blah, 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 I could start doing that. Like, no, just start playing. Start tomorrow. Like, right now. Leave right now. Grab your phone. Let's go.
Leave. Go. Yeah,
go. Stop watching this right now. Like, go. Because I think a lot of people get in their own way.
So true.
They are like, oh, I don't know how to do that, or oh, that's complicated, or oh, whatever. Just like, it doesn't have to be perfect. The first time, it's not going to be perfect. Let me let you know that right now.
Yeah.
Like, but you need to start that learning process. So if you ever do want to be perfect at it or really good at it,
yeah.
I don't know if there's such thing as perfect, but so I think the biggest thing is like, just get out of your way, take a continuing ed class, like go, you know, find somebody on Craigslist that wants to be photographed or whatever, depending on what you do, right? And I think just, you know, leverage the things that you're passionate about and just start doing them. And I think eventually, you know, everyone says like the money, you'll find the money or whatever it is, but you know, eventually that passion pays off.
Yeah.
You know, I think at the end of the day, you'll never lose by following your passion, because at the very least you learn something along the way, and that'll just make you smarter tomorrow. And,
expands, you know, you in a way that you couldn't have planned.
Yeah. And this garage is literally about, like, you know, tools are both physical things that are also, you know, things, lessons we've learned. You know, so I always say like, hey, this is our toolbox. The more things I know about, the new technologies that exist, the new people that I know, like all of that are the tools that I leverage when I'm given a new creative challenge on like, how do I do this? And it's like, oh, sometimes I'll lean on a production designer, or sometimes I'll lean on Matt and the rigging department, like how can you build something, you know. So I think the more tools you have, which takes time, and life is a long pursuit, you know, is, you know, just keep learning and keep, you know, kind of pushing those curiosities.
Yeah, copy that. Steve, thank you
so
much.
Right now. No,
I loved it. Yes, I think we just lost half the people, so we can just say bye.
Yeah.
they've all like run to go follow their dreams.
Yeah, they're all running around with their cameras.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much. Absolutely love chatting with you and working
you
with you.
Thank you.
And
this is very fun.
Yeah, awesome.
Awesome. All right, thanks everybody.
Yes.
See you later.
Ding, 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 ding.